How can we be bigots? If you don't believe us, pray to Jesus. He'll answer you. Take the Jesus prayer challenge, okay? We're not bigots, but we know because God's in our hearts telling us He's the only true living God. Everything else is a clone. It's a facsimile or a counterfeit. And that's Satan's job, and he's done a very good job. There's one true religion, one true God. Now, there's many ways to worship. You can be Catholic or Protestant, or you can be a Pentecostal like our friends next door. You can be Methodist. You can be evangelical free like we're here. You can be Baptist. That's not the issue. The issue is, who is Jesus? Either he's God or he isn't. Then he goes on to say, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. We, my friends, are priests of God. Every person in the names of Jesus, you're a king or a queen, you're royalty, and you have a mission to preach the gospel in your way, the way God gifted you. Maybe you're gifted with grace in a way that makes people feel comfortable, or you have the gift of compassion or empathy, or you have the gift of making money and giving it to the church, or you have the gift of teaching or preaching. And there's many, many, you can list all the gifts of God he has. He uses everyone in the way he made them to witness in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of this. We all can't be Billy Graham's, right? We all can't have the gift of gab. We all can't, you know, one of the number one fears, and I've never understood this, is for people to stand up and speak before people. Obviously, I don't have that affliction. And I never have. I could never understand that. But most people are, because of peer pressure, I guess, are afraid to stand up and talk. But sometimes it's hard to get people to talk in a group, you know? Because I guess we're afraid of people judging us. You know what? God judges us every minute. And if he's judging me every minute, you know, nothing else bothers me, you know, really. But he made some to be teachers, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be elders, some to be deacons, some to be deaconesses. There's actually a fivefold ministry in Ephesians, but it's so far beyond that, it's not describable. The person at the church that volunteers to watch the children, that person in the service is equally valuable to God as the preacher on the pulpit. Do you know that? The person that swabs out the toilet so that the bathrooms are clean for the congregation, that person's service is just as valuable. When someone says to you, have a good day, and you say, God bless you, instead of have a good day, nothing wrong with saying have a good day back, but say God bless you. And you'll see a reaction like, what? Or thank you. You see? Spread God around the way God has gifted you, and you'll hear those words at the pearly gates. Actually, it's the pearl gate, not pearly gates. Every gate in heaven has a different gem, and one of the gems that's on one of the gates is a pearl. Each of the 12 tribes of Israel had a gem, or a precious stone, or a pearl. And they were on the ephod of the priest who wore it on their chest plate, 12 in a row, a 4x3 matrix, and there's a diamond, and a sardonyx, and an amethyst, and a pearl, etc., etc. And the one gate that we've always referred to of going through is the pearl gate or the pearly gates. That's where that comes from. And we'll see all this. Heaven, New Jerusalem, final heaven where we live after the judgment, is a cube, 12 gates, 12 sides. I guess gravity's not an issue in heaven, in the spirit world. And so there's a gate. There's a side of the cube and a gate and a fountain as you go through the gate. And we can come and go as we please, but out beyond that, around this, in the spirit world, is where all the dogs and the whoremongers and the thieves, hell's on the outside of that. And we're on the inside of that. Heaven's just going to be unbelievably great. But the greatest thing about heaven is that's where Jesus is. The best thing is being with Jesus, our Savior, and the Father, and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. We're closest to the Holy Spirit now, in a sense, because he's in us. But he brings also the Father and the Holy Spirit. So one of our goals in life, by the way, is to know God so much that we're not shocked about anything. We're amazed, we're bowled over, we're delighted in all those things. But it's not foreign to us. God's not foreign to us. Jesus is closer than a brother. When you wake up in the morning, he's at the foot of the bed. Good morning, he says to us. We say, good morning, God. And every pain, we talked about in Bible study, every pain that you have and every discomfort, every problem, Jesus knows. He feels it. He doesn't know about it. He doesn't get an email or doesn't get a phone call. He feels it. He is in you through the Holy Spirit. He's entwined. He wants to be involved in every detail of your life. And when you exclude him, he's kind of snubbed, you know, especially the big decisions. That always cracks me up. People, well, I don't know if I should take this job. Well, did you pray? Well, no. Why should I pray? Well, God knows if you should take the job. He'll tell you one way or the other. Well, should I marry this person or not? God knows. Or should I go to this doctor? Should I take this medicine? God knows. And sometimes he doesn't answer right away. He says, I know, I've kind of told Chuck enough. He ought to be able to figure this out by now. Pray first. If you don't get immediate reaction to the prayer, then go ahead with the next plan of course. You know, pray first, then take the glass of water and the aspirin for the headache. You see, that's the order of things. God first is what he says. If you make me a priority in my life, you'll receive the blessings of God. And though we're going through this with my sister-in-law right now, she's been slowly dying of liver cancer. It's a horrible, torturous time and trial. And we pray for healing. We pray for healing. We pray for healing. Complete healing, Lord. And if the answer is no, it's because it's not in his will for her to be healed. We have to accept these things. We don't like them, okay? God didn't say anything about it. He didn't say anything about we have to like this stuff. But we have to honor God in all things. And sometimes the trials in our lives are for God's purpose. Most of the time they are. And we don't know what that purpose is. Oh, sure, we witness to people, we think that's it, but who knows? It could be conditioning our hearts or conditioning somebody else's heart, or it's the only way that person can be called home to be a benefit to the kingdom. God knows. We don't need to worry about that. Here's John in heaven worrying about who can open the scroll, and the elder says, psst, it's above your pay grade. Don't worry about it. God knows who's worthy. It's the Son. It's the Lamb. There he is. And the Lamb goes over and takes the scroll from the Father. And he's worthy to open it. And as he does, there's a new song. You are worthy to open the scroll. You're worthy to open the seals, for you are slain. Why is he worthy? Because he redeemed us to God. He redeemed us by paying the price of our sin, washing it away, and now we can be redeemed to God as we are now. This is an event that coronates our position in God. We're redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Savior. Redeemed by the... Well, you know this one, Lord, right? Let me start lower key. Redeemed by the blood of the Savior. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's where the song comes from. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I should have picked that song to sing today. Anyways, we're redeemed. We're redeemed. And there's only one way that can happen is by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we're seeing this repeated in heaven in this huge ceremony where all of heaven's watching. All eyes are on Jesus. And he's made us kings and priests. And we're to reign on earth now. We strut our stuff for Jesus now in a humble way to be light and salt in a saltless and dark world. Then he says, I looked and heard a voice of many angels around the throne and living creatures and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. That's a million. Plus thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain